Ball Spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of different things. Stanley Cup Finals last night, Game 3. The champs are not dead yet. The Lightning get their first win of the series now, 2-1. Game 4 coming up tomorrow. Hit the NBA draft ahead of Thursday. Talk a lot of Thunder draft. Bunch of different questions that I have about will they make the picks? Will they? You know, will this kind of give us a glimpse into what their thoughts are on tanking? Lu Dort seems to be his name thrown around in a lot of these trade scenarios. And when will the Thunder be in the playoffs again? Today is a sad day in the state of Oklahoma sports history. As of 10 years ago today, Game 5 of the 2012 Finals, Mike Miller, 23 points on 7 of 8 shooting as LeBron earned his first ring at the expense of the Baby Thunder. When will we see that team? When we see this team in the playoffs next time? It's another day, which means another PGA Tour member has defected to go play LIV Golf. Talk about that. Who is that? Biggest name so far, maybe? Probably. Maybe most accomplished player outside of Phil, I guess, but Phil's a little bit older. This guy's square in his prime. Tell you who it is. We'll put a bow on the U.S. Open as well. Coming up here at the top of the show. Also, hit a little College World Series as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other, download the Paragon app. The app's got it all. 3 radio stations, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, the Penny News. It's all right there at your fingertips in the app. We also have the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, go back and check it out on KADSAM.com, or you can do that on iTunes as well. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
I am a fantastic.
Happy first day of summer.
It's the longest day of the year.
It is the longest day of the year.
Right here today, the longest day of the year. What are you going to do on the longest day of the year?
The same thing I probably did on the shortest day of the year.
Work. Take care of children at home.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got practice tonight, so we'll be outside enjoying it. But
Better enjoy today, because starting tomorrow is when we start cranking her up to the triple digits.
Yeah. Going to be a little steamy. But that is summer for you. How was your evening?
My evening was fantastic. I'm going to be real honest with you. A long-awaited evening as far as the golf course is concerned.
Oh, okay. I thought a long-awaited evening of nothing to do.
No.
You were busy.
You was busy. And so all of that is a path forward, and it was a great evening. So,
great.
For at least in my mind and in basically everybody else's mind that was in that room last night. We're on the same path. So
progress being made.
Progress being made.
That's what we like to hear.
Yes. So it was good. It was a good evening. I missed out on the trip to Oompa's house with the cousins. Oompa is Kara's dad. For hamburgers, hot dogs, jalapeno poppers. Actually, not jalapeno poppers. Sweet pepper poppers. Same idea, just a sweet pepper instead of a jalapeno, basically.
No, that's a good idea.
It's, you know, for little kids, it's a great idea. You don't have the spice of the jalapeno, but you got the love of the bacon and the cream cheese.
Very good. That is a good idea. I need to try that one out. I might need to grab that recipe from your wife for...
I think it just simply gets you...
The same thing, just replace the jalapeno
literally
with the sweet pepper.
Yes.
I like it.
Get like a banana pepper.
I like that.
And do the same thing. Shockingly enough, none of the children ate a hot dog.
Well, what's that about?
I was surprised.
It's summer.
Here's the truth, at least in my house. The truth is, my wife does not like hot dogs or brats or any other, as she calls it, wiener item.
Okay. Even the all beef hot dogs?
Listen, she likes the beef, the all beef hot dogs. Not really. She doesn't like any of it.
Well, that's no surprise. I mean, she's a dietitian. I mean, she's very conscious of what she's putting in her body. So I understand that.
So she doesn't, yeah. So the point I'm making is I'm shocked Wyatt didn't take the opportunity because he loves hot dogs.
Yeah.
When he had the opportunity to have one, jump right in there and scarf a couple down.
Yeah, since there will be extra, and is that what you're saying?
Just because they were available.
They're there, yeah.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
He didn't do it.
You say why?
I went hamburger route, which I would always go hamburger route, but it was a surprising move for, and especially all the children. I mean, children normally love hot dogs.
Yes, they do.
I mean, I'm a 41-year-old child. I like a hot dog.
Yeah. I grab them two at a time. A little mustard, ketchup, sprinkle some cheese on there sometimes, relish.
Double fist them.
Yeah. Especially at the ballpark. It's summer. Summer is made for hot dogs. Hot dogs and summer go hand in hand.
I certainly think so.
Yeah.
A little chili, little cheese.
Oh, man. I guess I might be having a hot dog for lunch.
You know, we
go
missed.
Across the street over here.
Yeah. Last week we missed the one of the local restaurants had their chili cheese conies for 99 cents last Thursday.
I was completely unaware of that.
I happened to see it on Facebook. A little advertisement.
Oh, now I'm just mad.
Yeah.
Now I'm hungry and mad. That's a bad combination.
That's what happened. We missed it.
Speaking of food, and we'll end with this. While we're talking about great food, I haven't tried this yet. Have you seen what's the best dessert at Wendy's?
Oh, the Frosty.
The Frosty. They're having it.
There's a strawberry one.
Strawberry Frosty.
Yes, I have seen this.
Woo! Now, if there's only a way we can get them to put a little vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry in one cup.
A Neapolitan.
Yeah.
Where did I see? Oh, man, where was I? Just we just talked about Neapolitan, my family, just this week. And it was some kind of dessert. I cannot remember what it was, where it was. But it was, we were asking Wyatt about, do you like that ice cream? Do you think it's kind of weird to have all those things together? You know, that was a staple in our house growing up.
Yeah.
There was no one was afraid to buy the Neapolitan ice cream. Now, when you ate it, would you go all flavors together?
Or one at a time?
Or one at a time.
One at a time.
I would too.
Because that's how I eat everything on my plate. You know what I mean? I'm a weird guy.
You don't mix your food.
Yeah. No, I'll stick with one side, then the other, then the main or whatever. But yeah, no, one at a time.
That's the way I always was with the Neapolitan as a kid. I don't know if I'd be the same as an adult because
it might depend how hungry I am.
Well, the older you get, you know how you start to realize combinations are pretty good that maybe you don't understand as a kid? Like chocolate and strawberry goes together.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you? To me now, I'd probably put chocolate and strawberry on my spoon at the same time. And then kind of palate cleanse with the vanilla and then go back for more chocolate and strawberry.
Palate cleanse, yeah. Like it's a wine tasting or something.
That's right.
Come on.
we have a report here on the text line. Daughter had the strawberry frosty yesterday. She declared it was indeed bussin'.
Is that the new one now? Is that good?
Yes.
That's good.
I think it's bomb.
It's bussin'?
Bussin'.
That's a new one. Well, if she declared it's bussing, then I guess I'm bussing my butt over there to get some.
I mean, I'd hate to have another taste test. By the way, we still haven't gotten to Jimmy's ice cream.
We still have some in there, yeah.
I tried the Snicker. Pretty good. The other one's not open yet.
Okay, now this is the final thing about food, and we'll move on. Father's Day. We didn't talk a lot about Father's Day.
No,
I got a really cool gift for Father's Day.
What was it?
It was a box. It had 25 of them in there. A box of key lime pie Kit Kats.
Oh, how awesome. By the way.
Which you can't find. They're gone. They're limited edition, whatever. And I'm hoping they bring it back because now it's first day of summer. Because that's the key lime pie in summer. That's just like hot dog in summer. But this, if you haven't had this Kit Kat, I know you have.
Yeah, you bought one for me, and it was delicious.
They're awesome. I would grab a handful at a time whenever I saw them, wherever I was at. You can't find them anymore, but somehow my wife, she went online, found a box. Like you would buy for a store.
Right.
You know? She bought a whole box of them. Very, very cool.
I'm not done with food yet. Have you seen the new Reese's?
No. What, with chips in them?
Yes.
I've seen that.
Have you seen that?
I haven't had it yet.
I haven't either. Have you had one? I haven't even had the one with pretzels in it. There's one with pretzel
chunks
in there.
That sounds good. The chip one I thought sounded odd. But
it's the sweet and salty combo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because everybody now, no matter what their candy bar is, everybody's got a version of the salted caramel.
Sure.
Whether it's Milky Way or Twix or what, you know, whatever. They've all got
payday,
one.
Payday, man. Payday.
Payday.
Yeah.
And so now the Reese's is getting into the sweet and salty game with pretzel and then, yeah, potato chip.
Potato chip right in the middle of it. Yeah, I've seen that. I haven't tried it yet.
I haven't either. I just saw it the other day for the first time.
Yeah. I mean, I could see why it works. It looks odd to me, like chips. Nothing. Okay, well, I can see how that would taste good.
I could too, definitely.
Worth a shot.
All right. Can we move on from food?
I think so.
I don't really want to.
I think we can. Where shall we begin?
LIV Golf. So today, the most accomplished youngest guy, is that how we could say it? Maybe the first guy that's super accomplished, that's still in the prime of his career.
Yeah.
Has bolted the PGA Tour to play LIV Golf. That name? Brooks Koepka.
Oh, Brooksy.
Brooks Koepka. And listen, I think we talked about this when we saw his pre-US Open press conference and how standoffish he was with the media. I don't remember if we brought it to air or talked about it off air, but it was like, okay, Brooksy's gone. And by the way, this thing is made for him because he views the tournaments on the tour outside of the majors as nothing. And so if he's going to view the real those tournaments as nothing, why wouldn't he play a 54-hole exhibition and get paid bukus of money? And then I just – you wonder if behind the scenes these guys, a guy like him, is A, the money just so humongous that they can't turn it down, or B, they've been assured behind the scenes that they can play the majors moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard to believe that, I mean, of course, this guy's won four of them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the one, you know, outside of, I guess, like Taylor Gooch, you haven't seen guys that are major-less yet. You know, of the kind of younger guys. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen that yet. And so maybe it's, you know, hey, I've got four. What's the difference between four and eight? Not much in my mind. Oh, you $150 million? Yep, see you, bye.
Right. What if we're going to see names, so we, you know, not a bigger name, but also Abraham Answer's going over there. He's kind of one of those young guys we always had our eye on.
Yeah, I guess he is the guy. Reasons. Yeah, he hadn't won a major.
Right.
There's one. That's a good one.
And there's others rumored to go. Big time guys, too.
I'm seeing Morikawa.
Ah.
As in,
that might be the guy. Is that the guy we're thinking of?
That was the name being floated around. And his camp is adamant in that those rumors are false.
Well, what if someone like Brooks and answer and others.
What if it was Matthew Fitzpatrick?
Yeah. Yeah. What if it was Zalatoris?
Yeah.
But what if what if they're getting some inside info saying, listen, this is going to work itself out. Come over here and play. You're going to be fine, PGA-wise. And what if there's some inside information there, like, this is going to settle down. You're going to be able to compete for more majors. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It almost
and
feels
there's
like
a risk there, obviously, but but the risk reward, I mean, the risk is not able to play for a major again, but the reward is a buku's of money.
Yeah, generational wealth.
Yeah.
Got a question on the text line. What if he loses Nike? Honestly, I don't think he cares.
I don't think he cares about that.
I mean, that's things that, to us, when you're thinking, golly, they're paying him $5 million a year or whatever it is, you know, they don't care. He's getting $150
million. Right.
You know, that's the crazy
thing about
it. I'm
sure he sat down and go, okay, if I lose these sponsorships, but
right,
I go over here and I finish middle of the pack, I am still in the black pretty good.
Oh, it'll take him 30 years of $5 million a year from Nike to get to what he's getting up front from these guys.
Right.
Plus, then, whatever he wins. You know, I know we joked about it, but Charles Schwartzel, after winning that first LIV event in London a couple of weeks ago, would have been 10th on the season-long tour money list. 10th for 1 week. And that's in a year where Scottie Scheffler has already won more money than anybody ever in a year. That's just how much that is. And so, you know, I just don't. It almost feels like they have to have some sort of promise or inkling or reading the tea leaves or whatever you want to call it, that they're going to be able to play the majors.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
They got to have that, or at least they think that's what's going to happen.
Right.
Or there's just so much money, they don't care. They don't care about a legacy. They just don't care. Is the money the equivalent of signing bonus? That's what it sounds like, yes.
Oh, yeah, it does.
They're basically – now, I don't know – having said that, I don't know what the contracts – but it's like they're signing a contract, and I would assume that – a bunch of that is, you know, when we first started hearing the numbers with Phil and DJ, it seemed like it was like a 2 or 3 year commitment. So maybe it's 150 over 3 years, you know, like you see in all the other sports. So, but even 50 a year, I mean, Scheffler's won more money than anybody ever on the course right now. And he's at just a little over 12 million. And these guys are getting 50. Yeah, Morning Amel said Brooks or Nike did drop Brooks, which is really Nike. Why? This goes back to what Jim was talking about yesterday.
The China connection.
With the
yeah.
hypocrisy of all this yeah. stuff. I mean, come on. But they can do what they want to do, and obviously these guys, you know, they've all lost some sort of sponsor. I mean, Phil's wearing himself on his clothes right now. But they clearly don't care because of the money they're getting to join it. Let's put a bow on the U.S. Open. We talked just a little bit about it, and then with Jim, obviously, we did again. But you got to wonder, like, man, Matt Fitzpatrick, where did that length come from? I mean, he did. He went from a pea shooter to a bazooka. I mean, he was hitting it past everybody. He hit it over the road on 15 on Saturday. He was the only guy to drive it on the green on number 5 Sunday. He was the only guy, at least of the leaders, the guys that were really in contention, to knock it on in 2 on number 8. He hit 17 of 18 greens in regulation on Sunday, the final round and the final group at a U.S. Open. That is unheard of ball striking.
I think he saw the opportunity. One, two, it was, I mean, how many times have we seen it? I don't know, adrenaline, getting caught up in the moment, letting it take over, and then just hyper-focusing in and striking the ball really, really well. But I think, this, back to my first point, I think he just saw that opportunity on Sunday and knew I got to damn near be perfect striking the ball. And then, you know, the adrenaline takes over, and it just all worked for him on Sunday.
Yeah, it was really interesting because, you know, just go back a month, And he and Zalatoris were right there in contention at the U.S. Open. I believe they – or at the PGA, excuse me, at Southern Hills. I believe they played together on Sunday, if I remember right. So that was kind of a, you know, they maybe learned from what he didn't get done at Southern Hills to be able to put that into practice this week up at the Country Club. Obviously, he loves that, or he's comfortable on that golf course, winning the USAM there in 2013. I mentioned that yesterday. He's the only guy, him and Jack are the only guys to win both the U.S. Amateur and the U.S. Open. I mean, that's a heck of a list to be on when it's just you and Jack Nicklaus. You're doing something right. But it was amazing. And that shot he hit on 18, Jim referenced it yesterday, out of the bunker, just that is an incredible shot. I mean, when he's in the bunker and Zalatoris is where he is off the tee, you're thinking, okay, wait a minute. Is this going to be a two-shot swing? Zalatoris stuffs it. Fitzpatrick makes bogey, and we've got a different champ. Instead, just an unbelievable shot. And you know what else that's pretty awesome about him?
Hmm.
How fast he plays. He does not mess around. He gets it done and just whips around there. Seems like a pretty good dude. I know even Zalatoris, man, you just got – it feels like with each one of these losses, he becomes more likable. I mean, his putting stroke looks like what you'd see out at Elk City Golf and Country Club on about every other hole with every other group. That hitch, and you're like, oh, did he seize up? What just happened on the, you know, a couple of those tap-ins? It's like he takes it and he stops and, whoa.
Right.
But he makes it. He hadn't missed a three-footer all year on tour. That's crazy when you watch him. Now, if you go back another foot, those 4 to 6 footers, I bet there's a bunch of misses. But inside of 3 feet, he hasn't missed. But he becomes more likable. He was quoted as saying, he told Fitzpatrick's parents, walking off the 18th green, if I had to lose, I'm glad it was to him. You know, those are just things that make you like guys so much more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Makes you want to root for him, too, so he can get one.
He's played 9 majors. He's been in the top 10 6 times with 3 second places. It feels inevitable that he's going to win one. But the sport is lined with guys that it felt inevitable they were going to win one.
Mm-hmm.
Just go back to 2014, the year Rory won the last two. A guy that everybody from around here knows, Ricky Fowler. In 2014, that dude was top 5 in every major and won the Players. Seemed inevitable he was going to get one.
Right.
Now he's not even in the tournament. Now he can't even qualify for the U.S. Open 8 short years later. So that's the thing about, yeah, it feels like he's right there on the cusp, and one of these times he's going to break through, but that's why you need to break through, because you don't know how many times you are going to have a chance at it.
Yeah. That's the hardest part, is winning the first one.
That's right. So it'd be interesting. I saw a meme congratulating Will Zalatoris on his second place at the British Open already. It's a little bit of a low blow, but hey, it is what it is. But the U.S. Open, it was a fantastic tournament. I've got to go back and watch most, basically, the final round. What theater. I mean, you went from looking like Scheffler was going to run away from everybody, Rory up and down, John Rahm up and down, kind of down toward the end, and then all of a sudden you've got those two battling it out, trying to at least equal what Scheffler posted at 5 under, or best him, and Matt Fitzpatrick was able to best him by one. At the age of 27. Good stuff. Can't wait for the British.
Yeah, real intrigued who's going to be there.
Everybody.
When we get there.
Everybody. Including the Tiger.
The Tiger.
Man, I saw a photo of his leg over the weekend.
No, thank you.
Not good. We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
That was Rodney Skinner, and this is a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. They are the experienced compounding pharmacy. That means they're the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. Local delivery, drive-through, pickup, curbside testing, and vaccinations. There are a bunch of other stuff that we'll be telling you about throughout the hour. Paul Jones Drug, as I said, care you can trust at 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. Give him a call at 580-225-2121. Also, Jared, we've got a bunch of stuff coming up in July around the radio station.
Yeah, we do.
There's the 25th annual KECO Moran Equipment Open golf tournament. A, B, and C flight are full. Championship flight, there's still a few spots left. Get online at KECOFM.com. Try to win a whole bunch of money. Then the next weekend, probably my favorite event we do.
Which is?
The Presidio Petroleum KECO Kids Fishing Derby.
It's always fun.
It's always fun. Presidio Family Day in the park. So we're going to add mini golf, carousel train, maybe after the derby. Let's hope. Because I kind of got a spot picked out over on the train track where I want to fish.
Okay.
Ages 15 and under coming up at the Kids Fishing Derby. Lots of awesome sponsors of that as well. Specially marked fish, the Big Fish Awards. If you catch one of those specially marked fish, $100 bill, y'all, right in your pocket. Prizes for some other stuff as well. It'll be fun. Kids Fishing Derby, Saturday, July the 16th, Ackley Park here in Elk City. All right, Jared, we're just 2 days away from the most anticipated draft night in Oklahoma City since maybe the first one. Thunder have the second pick. They have the 12th pick. My question to you is this, or at least the first question I have to you is this. Will the Thunder make both first-round picks, the 2 and the 12, for themselves?
Man, I the 2, definitely. The 12, I think it's clear. I've been just scrolling through the Twitter sphere looking for the latest rumors about that. I think a lot of other organizations see Sacramento as a target and are going to try to throw anything enticing at them, including the Thunder, to try to get that 4 pick. It's just a matter of can Sam wheel and deal and be more enticing than the others. So based on that and the chances of the Thunder getting up to that 4 pick, I think the chances are better for the Thunder to, yes, use the 2 and the 12. Doesn't mean they hold on to that said player that they get at 12. That's a different question, maybe on Friday. But I just because there's so many suitors right now, so many people are blowing up Sacramento's phones right now, inquiring about that pick, what's it going to take to get it, I'll just go with the chances and say, yes, the Thunder are going to use both 2 and 12.
What would you give for that 4?
I would give, obviously the 12, and then the highlights are going to be 12 and a player, and I think that player, and I know he's on our list, is going to be Lu Dort because the contract is so attractive. He's a young guy that has a lot of upside. I think that is and I would be comfortable giving that to get all the way up to 4, absolutely. And there will be more picks involved too, later ones in the years, because he has a ton of picks, Sam does.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about the to get to the 4 pick. It was the 12, the 34, which is a second-round pick this year, which is pretty intriguing, I think, to teams, because here's why. It's essentially a late first-round pick, but it's not guaranteed. And I would think that's why it'd be intriguing for the Thunder as well. But if you can use that, so it was those 2 picks and then some future first-rounders. Now, the thing about, you know, there's those protections that we've been hearing about a lot of the picks that the Thunder have traded for. Mm-hmm. You can only protect your own. So it's not like the Thunder can slap some protections on some of those Clippers picks or the Houston swaps or whatever there is.
Right.
They have to be their own picks to be able to protect them. I would doubt seriously if next year's Thunder pick would be involved in any trade. And here's why. Without knowing what you get in this draft, I don't think you want to throw away a possible lottery pick for next year's draft. And, of course, the prize that is that guy, I can't say his name.
Yeah, right. the generational
the
guy.
The 7'3" yeah. Frenchman. Yes. And there's actually another guy that would probably – I think both of those guys would be the first pick in this draft if they were in it.
So even if you land at two, it's still a nice consolation
prize. I think that's right. And so, now are the Thunder going to be where they were this year with these kinds of odds, the odds to get the first pick? I don't think so.
I don't either.
I think they'll be further down the list, but you never know.
But if they're actively trying to get up to four and they want the two and the four, that tells me that they're looking to make the next step starting next season.
There's somebody there that they like.
Exactly.
Now who that is – and see, this is the interesting thing, and kind of on the next question. Who they pick, I think, will show you kind of what the plans are, at least going into next season. If that pick is, say, if they're coveting, and a lot of people think it is, Jaden Ivey at four, to me, that's where I agree with you. It's more of a fast track. If they're targeting, say, Shaedon Sharpe at four, a kid that was trying to get into Kentucky, tried to get to Kentucky a year early, didn't get to play coming out of high school. He never even played last year. Then I don't know if that's quite as clear, right? Because, you know, if somehow Orlando fools everybody and takes Chet, then the Thunder, I'm sure, would take Jabari Smith. A Smith-Ivy combo at 2 and 4, if that were to happen, it's they're more ready. Now, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those guys appear more ready for the NBA next year than, say, a Chet, Shaedon Sharpe combo. Because even though you get those two players, maybe they're not as NBA ready as rookies as some of the other combos you could get at 2 and 4. So I think just moving to the fourth pick doesn't necessarily show, hey, they're going for it next year. I think who they pick will be where you see kind of what the plans are. If they stay put, the guy from the Frenchman from New Zealand, Jiang, youngest guy in the draft. See, to me, that's more of a things are still up in the air as far as what's going to happen next year, mm-hmm. as opposed to Branham, the shooter from Ohio State. You know, that guy looks like, you know, boom, plug, play, go. That's just what I think. I mean, do you think that there's...
That's going to be very telling. You're right, who they pick and what the future is immediately or long term. But I think it's obvious who goes 1 and 2. And I think that...
quite frankly.
Yeah.
Because I think with the trade that Houston made getting rid of Christian Wood, that's clear who they're picking.
Right. But, yeah, let's see how aggressive the Thunder are. Between now and Thursday. Now, I think the question, do you think we'll see a move draft night? Listen, Thunder fans, after the 2 pick, don't turn off your TVs and wait for the 12 because something could happen about the time the people are making decisions for the 3 pick. I wish they had a static camera on the in the war room for the Thunder and see them on the phone and what they're doing, you know.
Right.
You know they're going to be pushing hard if nothing's happened between now and then.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody's used to the thing that is so weird, and it's just it's a CBA thing with the collective bargaining agreement between the players and the league. We're so used to watching the NFL draft, and, you know, all of a sudden Goodell's walking up there, and he announces there's been a trade.
Mm-hmm.
For that pick. It's not the way it happens in the NBA. They have to go through the show of – so even if there's a draft night trade for that fourth pick, Sacramento's still going to be the team to make that selection.
Make that pick, yeah.
So – and that's what you're saying, though. Don't turn your TV off until – I mean, Pat, and then the 7 at Portland, they're rumored to be a trade partner possibly for the Thunder. So even though you're not going to hear, hey, the Thunder, unless they make the trade pre-draft. But going into draft night, if nothing has been determined, nothing has been traded, that still doesn't mean there isn't something in the works. It just means they have to go through the process. So, you would think that if it was for the 4, you would know that by the 12th pick. But sometimes it doesn't come out until after the – so. What I'm telling you is, if the Thunder make what you think is a squirrely pick at number 12, probably not for them.
It's probably not for them. Right.
If you go, what? Why in the world did the Thunder take Benedict Mathurin? They've got point guards. Probably means it's not their pick.
Right.
It's for somebody else. And some kind of trade has happened just because of the way that all works. And, you know, there's the iconic pictures a couple of different years. One with Weber and Penny getting traded for each other on draft night. You got Weber wearing the Orlando hat, Penny in Golden State, and then they have to switch them because they got traded way back in the 90s. Obviously, the most recent example of this was Trey and Luka back a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where Dallas drafted Trey, Atlanta drafted Luka, and then they flipped them later on. You know, so those things happen all the time. And so I guess the overreaction when you hear somebody that you don't want the Thunder to pick, there's always going to be that glimmer of hope that they didn't pick them for themselves. They picked them for somebody else. And I think it'll be interesting because I don't think there's any doubt they're trying. And here's why I think they're trying so hard to move up. A, they love somebody, and B, they don't want to tank either, even though the reward next year is what the reward is. I also think they understand that the fans have had it, which is crazy because, you know, these processes normally take so much longer than what this appears to be. But that's where you've got to hit on these picks, because if you don't, you are Sacramento and you're always in the top five. You're always drafting at this level.
That's true.
If you don't hit. And hopefully for the Thunder, with the two pick, one of these two, whichever one you get, it works out like the Durant Odin thing did.
Yeah.
Who do you want it to be at two?
I think we want Smith, right?
I don't.
You like Holmgren?
Yep. But I also understand he's the biggest risk.
Yeah. And I know the comparisons are eerie, but the tall, lanky kid that I see gives me pause, but so is that kid from Texas.
There's actually an article right here on underneath the NBA tab on ESPN.com. The next Kevin Durant, meet Chet Holmgren.
Oh, okay.
The NBA draft's most gifted player.
Okay. As much as we loathe Kevin Durant for what he did, but as a player, that's high praise and risky comparison to write something like that.
Would Thunder fans be a little bit more excited about the possibility of Chet Holmgren if they hadn't gone through the last 2 years of Poku?
No,
tall, lanky, white dude.
Right.
And they've seen him and they go, ugh, we don't want another guy. Listen, Thunder fan, there isn't a comparison between those two. The only comparison is they're tall, lanky, white dudes. Outside of that, that ain't it, man. They play – listen, Holmgren is so much better than Poku right now. It's not even close. And he's nowhere near where he's going to be.
I came around on – excuse me, on Holmgren when after finally taking the time and sitting down and watching Gonzaga play and watching how he played on both sides of the court. And that's what kind of won me over. I thought, okay, I watched a good game from this guy. And I watched it again and again and again. And I YouTube some highlights on him. And he's a lot better than Poku was at that age. I mean – leaps and bounds better.
It's a really interesting guy because right here on the text line, by the way, happy birthday to Jeremy.
It's his birthday?
40.
No.
He's joined the 40 club. I saw a picture with him holding the cake.
Oh, you shouldn't have told me that. We got practice tonight.
He said, Chet is a huge, huge risk. Not sure OKC can afford the bus. There's no doubt they don't need to draft a bus. I agree with that. And what's interesting is he does seem like a big risk. But he also, to a draft evaluator, to a man, when the question is, who has the potential to be the best player in this draft, everybody says him.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird dynamic when you don't normally see that, right? You don't normally see the guy that has the biggest bust potential also have the biggest all-star potential. You know, it's those things don't normally go hand in hand. And there's no doubt tall guys like that and feet, you know, there's that risk for sure. But at the same time, in the same way they can't afford to bust, I also don't believe the Thunder can just afford to draft a guy. When you draft number two, I think you have to take some bust potential into account to try to hit the grand slam.
Yes. The latest rumor, pretty reputable rumor, from a reputable source, excuse me. Teams looking at that four spot, including Oklahoma City, Indiana, Washington, the Knicks, Atlanta, are the ones that stand out. Now, for those who don't know, Indiana has the 6th pick, Washington has the 10, Knicks with the 11, of course, OKC was 12, Atlanta was sixth at the 16th pick. So if you're Oklahoma City, I mean, obviously you got to sweeten the deal to have Sacramento take the 12 and not the 6, 10, or 11. And depending on who Sacramento wants, too. You know, I mean, to say, we know we can get that guy at 12 and don't have to pay him as much and stuff like that.
And extract a whole bunch of more assets. Mm-hmm. Because the one thing that the Thunder have the ability to do is trade you a ton of picks. I mean, with the war chest of picks that Presti has, and we all know he's not going to make every one of those picks. He's just not going to. They don't have the roster space to do it. And so there's a lot of ammunition there. And, you know, everybody can go look. All the teams can go look and see, okay, which pick is it? And then they start doing some projections. Okay, let's see. Here in 3 years, which one do we want? Will Kawhi and Paul George be gone from the Clippers? Maybe. Will Oklahoma City make the wrong pick here, and so we want their pick? You know, is it Houston? Are they going to screw this up? You know, there's a bunch of different dynamics there with the different teams that Oklahoma City owns picks for over the next 5 or 6 years. Will Lu Dort be on the Thunder come Friday? Come a week from Friday?
Well, I know I said it'll take the 2 and 12, or they'll use the 2 and 12 because just based on percentages. So I'll say yes on Friday. I feel like all this talk is all it is. It's talk. There's going to be a lot of discussions with Dort's name involved with Sam Presti in Sacramento. But ultimately, I don't think it happened. So I'm not changing my view on that. I think he is on the roster come Friday.
Can I say
I'm trying not to get overexcited for the possible fact of trying to get up to four.
See,
that just seems crazy to me that Thunder could have the 2 and the 4.
I think if they have the 4th pick, Lu Dort is still on the Thunder.
Do you?
Yeah, because I don't think Lu Dort makes a giant difference for Sacramento. Now, if they end up at the 7th spot with Portland's pick, I think Lu Dort is a Portland Trailblazer. Because I think the 12 and Lu is enough to get to 7. And, oh, by the way, he would be a pretty good compliment to Dame Lillard in the fact that he can just let Dame be Dame and he can guard anybody like he does here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if Oklahoma City makes a trade with Sacramento, I think Dort is still here. If they make the trade with Portland, I think he goes. And we've seen it so many times where you start getting, oh, man, think of the possibilities, you know, all the wheeling and dealing, and then Presti just does what he has.
Right.
But I think something is going to happen. I'm just not sure which option. What season will be the next playoff season for Oklahoma City?
I will say not this coming season, but the next. I do think they attempt to win this upcoming season, but I think they fall short as far as getting to the playoffs. But I will go with but I think they get in the next season. Got to get these new guys acclimated to the big leagues.
That's probably fair. Just because the West, it feels like there's a bunch of teams getting better. So I'll probably go with you there as well.
But do you feel like they're going to try to win this season?
Yeah, I think they'll definitely try. I think the first 30 games will tell the tale. if they're 15-15, you kind of keep on pushing. If you're 9-21, you go, oh, this didn't work like we thought. Let's start seeing what we got with some young guys. What day is the draft? Thursday.
Thursday night
this week.
7
this
o'clock.
Thursday. Espen. Is it on Espen?
It is.
I figured it was.
Maybe on ABC and the mothership. I'm not sure. It's one of those. I know I can't watch. First pitch, 7 o'clock.
Oh, it's a state tournament. We got to talk about that tomorrow or maybe Thursday.
I'll be in here Thursday.
Okay, we'll talk. We'll get a bracket breakdown.
Good luck.
On Thursday. It is exciting, though. I think it's more exciting, too, because you got a feeling if the Thunder hit the two, the team is going to be a lot better immediately.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. You just heard from Rodney Skinner. It is a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. It's care you can trust at Paul Jones Drug. Long-term care unit packaging or blister packs. They've got convenience packaging, which is individual packaging for your daily meds. So you don't need the giant plastic container with the days of the week on there and having to fill up each little unit. No. Convenience packaging allows you just to open up a package, take your pills, throw it in the trash, and move on down life's path. Durable medical equipment, which is walkers and canes, crutches, most insurances are accepted. But it's not just that. There's also gifts, greeting cards, all the cool knickknacks down at Paul Jones Drug. 809 North Main Street. Thank you to Rodney Skinner for being a part of the show, Paul Jones Drug Tuesdays. Did you watch any of the hockey last night?
A little bit.
Did too.
A little bit. I was late to tune in, but by the time I did, man, the Lightning, they come alive.
They did come alive.
They needed that. They needed that at home, and that helps them. That stat stood out to me. I'm sure you saw it in the third period where that in hockey, the team that starts 2-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals wins 90% of the time. So a big mountain for the Lightning to overcome. But, hey, they're two-time defending champs. You got to think they got a real good shot of bucking that trend.
If there is anybody that can do it, I would not put it past the Lightning.
Right.
They are trying to become the first three-time back-to-back-to-back champ since the Islanders back in the early 80s, only the fourth franchise in hockey to ever do it. It was fun. It's 6-2. It wasn't necessarily a close game, but man, it's just the rule changes.
What happened outside of the scoring is what caught my eye. The Lightning came out and literally threw haymakers. You know, they're there. We're not here to go down 3-0. We're not here to get pushed around. We're the defending champs. This is our home rink. We're here to protect it and take care of business. They came out with a little chip on their shoulder. Outside of the scoring, that's what I saw. The hitting, the checking was harder, all that stuff.
And having said that, they very easily could have been down 2-0 in that game because Colorado scored a goal that was disallowed because they were offside by a millimeter, and then Colorado did take the 1-0 lead before Tampa mashed the gas and took off. So it's 2-1, game 4 tomorrow night. Feels like a game that, you know, if that wasn't a must-win last night, this one feels like it is as well for Tampa Bay to go back 2-2 instead of 3-1. Breaking news from Colin Morikawa himself, blue check mark, Twitter verified his tweet. To state for the record, once again, you all are absolutely wrong. I've said it since Riviera in February. I'm here to stay on the PGA Tour and nothing has changed. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some cereal to pour in my milk.
I love it.
So it would appear as though, according to Colin Moore, I mean, he'd look like an idiot now if he jumped ship. It ain't Colin Morikawa. Who will it be? Brooks Koepka has already announced his. Supposedly there's going to be another one today. So who is it going to be when we come in here 24 hours from now?
Don't know. That's interesting.
It is interesting. We're going to cut out a little early.
Got to go?
I do.
You literally. Got some stuff to do?
Literally.
Okay. Okay.
Everybody have a great day. Thank you to Rodney Skinner at Paul Jones Drug for his sponsorship on Tuesdays. This has been the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!